Hey, would you join me together as we get started in our teaching time to pray for each other? I sense, I think, like a lot of you, it's been a hard, heavy week for a number of people. And I can see it in some of your faces. There's some people that aren't here because of it. Things I know about and a lot of things I don't know. It's been a rough week for a lot of you. Can I just pray a pastor prayer over y'all? And not that I am the Lord, but I do feel I have that authority to just pray for you and to let God do his work in your life, and that we'd be ready and open to hear the teaching this morning, all right? What God wants to say. So God, I do come to you humbly and in just in your name, in your presence, in your authority, in your power, I come in prayer interceding for this beautiful church family of Two Rivers. I know some had a great week, and I celebrate with them. I had a great week. It was awesome. But so many have just struggled with so many different things, and it's been a rough week. There's been suicides in the family. There's been sicknesses pronounced. There's been just memories coming back, bad memories from the past, and on and on and on and on, financial problems. God, help us to put feet to our words, feet to our faith, that we believe that you are in control and that you have our best in mind. Lord, you're not going to let us down. You're not going to let us go. We're not really that much in control. Just help us to rest in you, to lean in right now. We need you, Lord. And I am so grateful for your Spirit that comes and ministers and fills, and you fill up those holes. You fill up those gaps. And we need you today. We need you right now. Even as we open your word, we confess that it's impossible to even understand it without your help, let alone try to apply it to our lives. So please come and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to get this out so I can see it a little bit better. Last week we started our new series in heaven. So a few of you are here new today or that weren't here last Sunday. So let me just give a super fast 3-minute review of last Sunday if you weren't here. Our key point last Sunday was just, we just need to know about heaven. We need to learn about heaven so that if we know more about our heavenly future, it will actually help us in our life here today, in our world today. It will help us. It'll help us be more successful. It'll help us be more victorious. Help us be more on focus. Our citizenship is where? Here? What does Philippians 3 says? Our citizenship is? We are citizens of heaven. We should live this earthly life as if it's a stopover, not the final destination. We shared this quote. We changed the old quote that says, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And we said, we need to be so heavenly minded that we're only earthly good. That's what we need to be. That should be our mentality. Some of you don't think much about heaven, but I guarantee when you're confronted with mortality, when you're confronted with illness or cancer, or the loss of a loved one, or your stable life gets turned upside down for some reason, that's the time that we need to be ready. We need the hope of heaven, and we need to be ready to really believe that there's a very real heaven where God lives forever. C.S. Lewis said it so well, aim at heaven, you'll get earth thrown in, right? But if you aim at the earth, neither. I love that saying. I love that quote. So today we're going to ask the question, what is heaven like? What is it like? Y'all have your ideas. We've even hinted toward some of the stereotypes before on last Sunday. Before I answer those specific questions of what heaven's going to be like, I just want to give a couple of kind of foundational truths that I've been learning about heaven doing my study. Maybe you can help me out here. First of all, just let's define it. Is it silly to define heaven? Heaven's where I'm going to live forever. But if you think about it, heaven really, the best definition I've been able to find as I've been looking at books and just scripture, it's wherever God is. Wherever God lives, that's heaven. Heaven is going to be the place we get to go to where heaven's going to be. God doesn't need a place to live, am I right? Why? God is he's spirit. He's not flesh and bones, right? God doesn't need a house to live in. He's making one. He's choosing one. He has one ready for us to be with him. And he does that because he wants to hang out with us. He wants that to happen. So I think of the best, simplest definition of heaven is wherever God is. You could probably help think of another one. You remember what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who is in heaven. You're in heaven, and holy is your name. And that's our attitude. You know, Jesus said, yeah, God, I know. I realize you're there in heaven. And we know that if we've been in the church or read Scripture at all. It's just good to think about that. That's a really clear definition. The Bible uses this one word for heaven in different ways. And I don't want you to be thrown off by some scriptures you might read. So the Greek word, for all you scholars, is aranos, like a rhinoceros, aranos. And it's the same word used for when the Bible depicts the sky and the stars, like the creation, the heavens. You know, if the Old Testament was written in Greek, the heavens, the aranos, proclaim the glory of God. That idea of the skies display the craftiness. That's the first idea of how the Bible uses that word, aranos. But there's a second one, is that real place where God lives. That real place where God lives is aranos. When Jesus left this earth, when he ascended into heaven, there were two angels left over. Remember this story with the disciples? What were the disciples doing? I gave a hint. They were looking up. And the angels go, hey, men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up into the aranos, up into the sky? Why are you looking up in the sky? Jesus isn't there. He's gone. Let me just quit paraphrasing and read it. Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. Now that's where God lives. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So here the angels use both types of the descriptions for heaven that are in the Bible, okay? Maybe not big to you, maybe not important, but just want you to know that that's a reality in Scripture. You might get confused by that, all right? Third, heaven is a very real physical place. It's not just a dream. It's not just a concept. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not just this place of solace that we created because we feel so bad about where our loved ones have gone when they passed away. You know that, and some people, they say that's all heaven is this made-up place so we don't feel bad about our loved ones who have gone on. And I say, well, no, it's not a figment of imagination. It's not a concept. If we look at the Bible, it's so clear. I mean, Jesus, God, all the teachers, they tell us heaven's a real place. Even Jesus himself, remember in John 14, back in 1997, Time Magazine, does heaven even exist? I love that they did that. And I'm sure they were really PC and used all kinds of, not just Christianity in their articles, but I'm just a one source man, sorry. It's going to be all Bible for me. But I just thought that was interesting that Time would even do that way back in the 97. So last Sunday, we looked at John 14. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. Salud. Bless you. That's all right. I'm going to talk about Dalton later. I'm so glad he's here. John 14. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. A place for you. That word topon is like, you get the term topological map. You remember those topological maps? It's kind of like what Google Earth is now, the satellite view. That's topological. We see it. It's a map that looks like it really is. Don't really need them anymore. But we get that word topon. It's an actual place, an actual location. There's nothing pretend or made up about heaven. It's very real. So if someone goes to you and says, I don't think heaven's real, I think it's pretend, you got some weaponry here. You got some tools to look to explain to them. Fourth question, one of the things just before we get into our big list here, where do Christ's followers go when they die? Immediately. Where do they go the second after they pass away? That's a good question because people have a lot of opinions. Opinions galore of what happens to someone when they die. And I'm asking specifically what happens to Christ's followers. What happens? A lot of people have opinions, but not many have studied. They don't have anything to really back up their opinions. They just have them. And that's okay. I guess that's okay. That's the world we live in. But I have some facts. I think I have some biblical facts for what I know, what I believe. For example, the Bible says very clearly through Paul, 2 Corinthians, he says, to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Boom. Absent from the body, the soul, the spirit, right? leaves, the body is left, I'm with the Lord. And he was excited about that. He wanted that. Oh, I want to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul was saying, I can't wait. Remember when Jesus was dying on the cross and he said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. That thief got into heaven without ever going to church. He never gave an offering. He didn't get baptized. Nothing. Crazy guy. One day I'm going to see him and I'm going to talk with him, I hope, up in heaven. And I'm going to go, dude, nice job. Way to go. Way to get in by the skin of your teeth. I like it. That's great. But Jesus said today to that thief, you're going to be with me in paradise. No alternative, no levels to get to, no alternative realities, no different teachings. Immediately today you'll be with me. There's no purgatory after you die. There's no limbo. There's no soul sleep, nothing. These are all invented teachings by men because there's no scriptural proof for any of these things. I'm sorry there's no reincarnation. It's just not a biblical idea. This comes from Eastern religion. It comes from New Age teaching that says we can view it over and over again. I don't believe in reincarnation, but I do love this picture. People listening on tape won't get this. Here's the answer to reincarnation from Scripture. Hebrews 9:27. Each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Jeff, the first time I ever heard this was your dad teaching on this subject, and he was the first one to say, there is a verse. First time I ever saw that there was a verse about reincarnation right there. Each person is destined to die once, then the judgment. By the way, for Christ followers, that word judgment, don't be scared by that word. We'll talk more about this later on. Judgment can be a cool word. It's a positive word for believers. It's going to be a fun experience. Not so for those who have not chosen to follow Jesus. It will be like judgment like we think of it, okay? Hebrews 9:27 is important. So the Bible is clear that we immediately go into the Lord's presence after we die. Later on in this series, we're going to talk about heaven, the heaven that's existing right now, where our believing loved ones, where the saints are at right now with God. There's heaven happening right now. That's eternal life. They're enjoying it. But the Bible also talks about a heaven that's going to come later, sometimes described as the new heavens, the new earth. It has a different feel, a different thing going on that the Bible describes, and it's confusing. And I'm learning. And I'm struggling through it, and I'm going to let you in on a bunch of that soon in our series. But for right now, while they may be different things about, you know, it's a two different heavens. That sounds weird to say that. But both the intermediate heaven that is happening right now and the future eternal new heaven and earth, there's something important about both of those that we just can't get away from. The most important thing is that God is at both. God is there. And Jesus is there at both. It's not different places for different people to live. You know, the rich people can be here, the poor are there. It's not anything like that. It's going to be a special place that God creates for us. All Christ followers will be or already are in heaven because that's where God is. All right? So with that as an intro, I probably raised more questions than answers going through that. With an intro, what is heaven going to be like? Do you think about that often? Do you wonder? I'm not going to talk about the vision of Revelation much today about, you know, the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. I'm going to talk more about, well, here's what I figured out. I thought, how can I get across what heaven's like? I thought, let's do a reality check of our life right now and compare it to what heaven's going to be like. I thought that was the best way that I could try to imagine what heaven's going to be like. This new earth that we're going to experience, this new heaven, it's not going to be marred by sin. There'll be no scars of sin. There won't be any pollution. It'll be the best of earth, only way, way better. Way better. It's as real and physical as this earth is right now, but with incredible fringe benefits. Isaiah 65. It's one of the few Old Testament passages that talks about heaven and especially specifically about this new earth. He says, I'm going to just kind of hunt and peck here a little bit. Verse 17 says, look, I'm creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will ever think about the old one anymore. I'm creating a new earth, God says, through Isaiah. And through this chapter, he talks about how babies will never die. He talks about how 100-year-old people will be young. He talks about how people are going to be blessed by God. It's going to be a blessing. He talks about all these great things about this new earth. And then in verse 25, he says, interesting, the wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. No one will be hurt or destroyed. I, the Lord, have spoken. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? That is hard. I can only imagine what that will be like. It's hard. I don't understand it all. But somehow, just like Adam and Eve experienced a perfect paradise in the Garden of Eden, somehow we are going to be able to interact with our Creator in a type of paradise, in a new earth. It's going to be para. No, any Coldplay fans? Okay, no. All right. Paradise. Sorry. That was for my son only, I guess. An 85-year-old couple were real health food nuts, and especially the wife. She really, really, really kept the husband on track, eating right, and wanted to live a long time. They were 85 years old and had an accident, went straight up to heaven. And they reached the pearly gates, and St. Peter took them to their new mansion. And oh, is it a great home. Beautiful place, 3 stories, a beautiful kitchen, a beautiful bedroom suite, jacuzzi, awesome deck, amazing view. The old man's all worried, what's this going to cost me, Peter? Peter says, hey, don't worry, man. It's free. This is heaven. They go out in the back and they look, and the house is right next to this championship golf course. It's beautiful. It says you can play here every day if you want. He says, the holes change. They're the best holes in the earth, the whole world. They're going to be here for you to play any day you want, anytime you want. The old man was worried, what are the green fees going to be? This is frightening. Peter says, no, don't worry. It's going to be free. It's all free. This is heaven. So they go to the country club, and they're going to have this beautiful lunch. It's a buffet, and all the cuisines of the entire world, the cultures, are laid out for them. And they're looking everywhere and goes, how much is this lunch going to cost us? Don't you get it yet? It's free, Peter says. Excuse me. And the old man says, but where are the fat-free, cholesterol-free foods at? That's what I eat. Peter says, you really don't get this, do you? He says, up in heaven, there are no calories. Up in heaven, you don't get fat. Up in heaven, it's all healthy. Eat whatever you want. It's going to be great. And then the old man turns to his wife and says, all these years of tofu casserole, I could have been here 10 years earlier. Yeah. All right. What will heaven be like? The Bible doesn't answer all our questions about heaven, but take great hope in this. 1 John 3:2, what we will be has not yet been made known. So we don't know it all yet. We haven't experienced it by any means. But we do know that when Jesus appears, say it with me, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. That's a great promise, friends. That's a beautiful scripture. We're going to be like Jesus, like his glorified body, like his perfection. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to see him as he is. Take great hope in that. A lot of things in this world make me sad. The first thing about heaven, though, there will be no more tears, no more emotional pain. Oh, man, I can't wait for that. Some of you crying today. No more tears in heaven. No more bad tears. No more hurting tears. No more hurt. No more emotional pain. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. A lot of things in this world make me sad. I don't know about you. Some are sadder than others. All of us have felt anguish over this life. It's a cruel life. It really is. I remember many years ago, I had this young friend, and she sat me down one evening and told me some of her life story. And she went on to go in quite graphic detail about 2 years of being raped and molested by her stepfather continuously for 2 years. He was finally caught, went to jail. But she wanted to try to help me understand who she was by describing this event in her past. And as she was telling me all this, I just felt like I was getting punched in the gut over and over again. I was just this naive 18, 19-year-old. Going, holy crap, how could all this happen? I felt so bad. I started crying. I'm not really a crier. I wasn't even back then. And it was like, oh, it is so sad. It hurt so much what she had gone through. And I started feeling angry, too. Got angry for that stepdad. I wanted to go find him. I wanted to hurt him. I wanted to kill him. I had all these emotions going on. I felt so sad and so angry. Okay, in heaven, no more tears. No more pain. We're not going to hurt anyone. No one's going to hurt us. Our new glorified bodies, we won't need to feel those things since all sin and pain is going to be gone forever. It's amazing. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? I just love it. But there will be no tears, no emotional pain in heaven. Number two, there'll be no more sickness, no more disease or disabilities. Can we get a shout hallelujah from somebody? I mean, man, part of the curse of sin in this world means that our bodies fail us all the time. The older we get, the more it fails. Appendixes go bad. Cancer cells grow. We still don't have a cure for the common cold or the flu. Vicky, you and Bob, you've been sick for how many weeks with a stupid crud? Yeah, I mean, it's just, we don't, you know, here we are, 2018. We still don't have a cure for the cold. I'm looking forward to a new body. I can't wait for the time when my leg doesn't hurt anymore. I don't know about y'all. What's bugging you? But I can't wait for that day when my leg doesn't hurt. Teens, in heaven, there'll be no more acne. Think about that. There'll be no more fat in heaven. No one will have cancer in heaven. Can you think about that? There'll be no more cancer in heaven. And think about this one. We're going to have wonderful, very normal conversations in heaven with people who were mentally handicapped or had disabilities. We're going to have normal, beautiful conversations. Dalton just chimed out right at the perfect time. Because I can't wait. I can't wait to have a conversation with Dalton in heaven. I can't wait. I know. And I know, yeah, mom and dad and others, they crave it more and more. But think about those people that have struggled in this world with different disabilities or handicaps. But to know that we're going to have normal, wonderful conversations with them. They're going to minister to us. We're going to minister. It's going to be great. I can't wait for that day when all disease and all sickness and all disabilities will be gone. I don't know why so many people are sick down here, but I know it's because of the curse. And I know it's so that I think we'll better have a glimpse and be more excited about heaven when it happens, right? That's got to be at least one of the reasons. So there'll be no more pain. No more sickness, no more disease. Third, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this list, guys. Sorry. This is getting hard. In heaven, we'll never experience death. That sounds so obvious, but it's important to think about for a minute. My job has forced me as pastor to be in those situations where I'm often at the deathbed. Many, I can't count the times. I've either seen someone pass away or I'm often the first one there. That's something, I don't know why that's true, but often the first one in the hospital room or in the home when someone's passed away. And it's just such a fascinating experience. It's really hard to describe. There's nothing like it unless you've experienced yourself. It's just so obvious right away that the spirit is gone, the soul is gone, and there's just a shell of a person that's left there. And they're gone. I mean, obviously, their heart's not beating in these things, but you can just sense it. It's this incredible thing that it's so final when people pass away. In heaven, we will never have to watch a loved one suffer or die again. Praise the Lord. Kathy, you're going to be out of a job. I'm sorry. So I really apologize for that, but no more work for you at the funeral home. It's just the opposite up there, isn't it? We get to be with our believing family and loved ones again in a perfect paradise. I can't wait to see my grandparents again. I can't wait to see my friend Jeff Sorvik again. So many others who have already left this world. On and on, I could go with the people I can't wait to see. In heaven, we'll never die. Think about it. We'll never die. We have this wonderful opportunity to interact with loved ones. We'll get to meet the great saints of history, the saints from the Bible, the great Martin Luther's and all these people. We'll get to meet them. I can't wait for that. We'll have wonderful opportunities. Forever is a long time, guys. The great physicists of today are making our heads hurt with all these, added dimensions of time and string theory and all this stuff that I don't understand, all these quarks and quartz, all this stuff. And time is becoming this like weird thing. And if we don't understand time now, think of what it's going to be like in heaven. Time is just going to be absolutely something we have no clue about. Nothing like our watches, I tell you that. Forever is a long time, but it's going to be a wonderful forever time. Can't wait for that. Hard to imagine. Number four, we won't ever be poor or in need ever again. Some of you have never been in that situation where you've felt like you've been stone broke. Well, most of you maybe have, at least once or twice. When Bonnie and I got married, a lot of you know this, we were so broke when we got married. I was getting this piddlance of a salary at a church doing this ministry. It was just nothing. And Bonnie was in nursing school, but we were getting married, and we were happy. We lived in someone's basement, and the kitchen was this closet that had a little, we were so poor. We were so poor. We were literally living dollar to dollar. And on our honeymoon, I caught an 85-pound halibut. Awesome, right? And so for the first year of our marriage, guess what we ate? Almost daily. Halibut. And I love halibut. Bonnie, not so much. But after so many different kinds of creative sandwiches and casseroles and steaks and whatever, halibut, whatever you can make out of halibut, we started just to go, I was trying so hard to be positive, guys. My wife was just learning to cook, and I tell you, it was rough. But to this day, you ask her, she's teaching the kids right now, you ask her afterwards, ask her what she thinks about halibut. She'll tell you. She might curse. No. She hates fish to this day. We were poor. We were poor. And some of you've still experienced that. I love the old gospel song. It's called I'm Rich. I don't know if you know this old song, but I'm rich in faith. I'm rich in hope. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I've got more than my share. And I'll be moving to a mansion just over in glory where I'm a rightful heir. And then at the end of the song, they shouted out, hallelujah, I'm a millionaire. Today we'd probably want to say billionaire. That'd be more exciting. But this idea, I'm rich. Well, I don't have any money. But boy, someday in heaven, I'm going to have everything I need. And I love to think about that. In heaven, we don't have to pay bills. Oh, think about it. In heaven, we won't be in debt. In heaven, we won't worry about whether we can retire or not. We won't have to consider bankruptcy. We won't have to wonder what our credit score numbers are. We'll never have to worry about that kind of stuff again. Our every need will be met. Our every need will be met. Nothing or no one can take anything away from us. There'll be no crime. Nobody can hurt us. No one can steal our identity. No one can do all these things. There'll be no crime whatsoever. We won't need be in need because there will be no need to be had. Love it. I love it. All right, number five. Anybody excited about this? No more depression or mental disorders. Yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah. Now, we all know most of the depression that we can experience is caused by some trauma in our past or traumas. And we learn how to cope with the coping mechanisms, and we know how, the brain just stops producing those chemicals that we need. And we understand all that, but it's still hard, and it often doesn't kick in right, and it doesn't work. And we pray for God's healing, and yes, he helps, and we move on. But We know how depression takes us to those dark places, and it's hard. But think about it, guys in heaven. Think about it. There will be no mental disorders at all. There'll be no psychiatric wards. There'll be no suicide. None. There'll be no depression. No lingering hurt from our past. We'll be freed from all of that. Can you imagine? Oh, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. No more. I love it. That's five. Man, I'm an emotional wreck right now. I'm not going to be able to get through this list. I'm just sure of it. Because it only gets better. Six. Oh, man. This is a biggie. I really want to meditate on this number six. In heaven, there'll be no more sin. And we can't talk about this enough. We cannot talk about this enough. I may be the only one here that struggles with it. I probably am. But sometimes I can have such dark, evil, horrible thoughts. And sometimes things I struggle with are so big and so wrong. If you could see my mind, you would fire me as your pastor. I mean, my mind can think up some pretty crazy stuff. And even some of my dreams, they're just plain evil. They're violent and sexual and revenge-oriented. I just have these dreams. Sometimes I have wonderful God dreams, too. But I can't control these things. And sometimes I just get so frustrated. I usually don't act out on my evil thoughts, praise the Lord. But I don't even want the thoughts to be there. I want the thoughts to be gone. I have no doubt that I'm a sinner. If anyone ever asks you what my status is, go ahead and tell them I'm a sinner. I have no doubt about it. And my family knows even better than I do. It's just so easy for me to badmouth someone. It's so easy for me to yell in traffic. It's so easy for me to be negative and sarcastic. It's so easy for me to think about things I shouldn't be thinking about. It's so easy for me to put someone down rather than build them up. Why do I do that? I love these people. Why do I hurt them like that? Why don't I build them up all the time, right? It's just I realize I can be a slave to sin. I can go back to the old ways so easily. Because it's still there. It's so easy. It's like Isaiah, right? Remember when he said, woe is me, when he kind of had this face-to-face with God. He said, woe is me. Like he says, I'm dead. I'm dead meat. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I just say, yeah, Isaiah, go, boy. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that today, now I'm not talking about heaven, but about today, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit's help. I'm thankful that I'm learning daily to not let the power of sin control me. That's what Romans 8, 1 and 2 is all about, right? That sin no longer controls us. We are being sanctified. There's that fancy word, sanctification. That means we're getting saved from that power of sin. More and more we can start letting loose of this stuff. It has nothing to do with about our ticket into heaven. It has to do with our life here. We're learning to become sanctified and holy, and we can get rid of the crap that's in our life. That's what sanctification is all about, learning not to let sin control you. But in heaven, think about this. There won't even be the presence of sin. We call this glorification in fancy books. Glorification. And the reason we give it a term is because we have to understand it's the power of sin is here on earth still, and we're learning to let go of that, but no more power of sin. But when in heaven, when the presence of sin is gone, oh, can you almost feel your shoulders getting higher and the weight off of you just thinking about it? Can you imagine the load off of never even being tempted ever again? Never having any of these evil thoughts? Guys, think about it. We won't be hypocrites anymore. We'll actually do what we say. It'll be amazing. Gambling won't tempt us. Sexual affairs won't tempt us. Struggles with our marriage and struggles with our gender won't trip us up. We'll never lie. We'll never even fib again. We won't be addicted to anything that we think we need today. Instead of anger and rage boiling up inside of us, we're going to feel love and care for people. Pornography and lust, it won't be a part of our lives anymore, guys. I can barely imagine the weight of sin being lifted off my body when I get to heaven. Nothing unclean, says Revelation 21, will ever enter heaven. Nothing. Can't even get in. nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have a pass. They have a way in. As your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Randy Alcorn writes about a perfect world, a perfect earth, and a perfect heaven. He writes this. He says, imagine it, all of it, in its original condition. The happy dog with the wagging tail, not the snarling beast who's beaten and starved. The flowers unwilted, the grass undying, the blue sky without pollution. People smiling and joyful, not angry, depressed, and empty. Close your eyes and envision the most beautiful place you've ever been, complete with palm trees and raging rivers, jagged mountains, waterfalls, or snowdrifts. Think of friends or family members who love Jesus and are with him now. Picture them with you, walking together in this place. All of you have powerful bodies, stronger than those of an Olympic decathlete. You are laughing, you're playing, you're talking, you're reminiscing. You reach up to a tree and you pick an apple or an orange and you take a bite and it's so sweet, it's startling. You've never tasted anything so good. Can you imagine heaven without any sin, a perfect place, a holy place? Well, I saved the best one for last, guys. Number 7. We're going to see Jesus face to face in heaven. And I can't wait for that day. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus is real. But we have to talk about Jesus. We can't see him physically. And it's kind of like in absentia sometimes. And sometimes God feels far away. Other times, it's just Jesus is so close, we can almost feel it. And we know he's real. But there's just something missing, isn't there? There's something lacking that we just can't wait for that day when we can see him face to face. I can't wait for that. And where I get to be a friend of Jesus. I just get to hang out with him. I can't wait for that. I love the old gospel song that says, what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day. That will be, it will be a glorious day. What a day. Those are 7 reasons why you should be full of anticipation for heaven. Heaven's going to be awesome. Awesome. I hope you leave here today with that hope and excitement about our eternal home. But meanwhile, back at Earth, while we're stuck here at our layover, let's make the most of our time here on Earth. Let's live like we're at war. Let's live like we're at war. We got battles to fight. Let's win them together. Let's win these battles. Let's fight. Let's take this sanctification stuff seriously. And let's win. Let's bring light into this crazy, dark, crappy world. Let's do this. Let's live like we're at war and we have these battles to win. Let's be so heavenly minded that we can only be earthly good. You see, 1 second after you die, just the snap of a finger, you're going to be up in the presence of the Lord. 1 second after you die. And you're either going to have a smile on your face or you're going to have terror written all over. It's one or the other. I can't prove it scripturally, but I'm pretty sure you're going to have a conversation with the Lord when you immediately get to heaven. I think he's the one you're going to see at the gates, not St. Peter. I think it's going to be with God himself, numero uno. And God's going to be there, and he's probably going to ask every single one of us the same question. You know what that is? Why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I let you in? That's a great question. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to go up there, and God asks me that question, I'm going to say, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I don't deserve it. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm bad. I was telling everybody about it just on Sunday morning. About my evil thoughts. They want to fire me now. I'm a bad guy. I'm a bad guy. I don't deserve to be in heaven. But I believe that Jesus died for me. And he paid the price for my sins. And he bridged that gap that was between you, God, and me. And now I can have a relationship with you. So my answer, why should you let me in? It's because of Jesus. It's It's because of Jesus. I'm committing my life to him. I lived for him. I trusted. I had the faith to believe that this was real and that it was all going to be worth it in the end. And so I'm coming to you, God, saying, I can only be in because of Jesus. And that's really what it comes down to for you here on earth, to make that decision for your life. It's as simple as ABC. You need to admit that you're a sinner. Admit it. A. Admit that you cannot save yourself. You cannot get there. If religious people will answer that question to God, how? I did the best I could. I was pretty much a good person. That's how most religious people will answer that question. Guess what? I don't think too many of those religious people are going to get in. The only way is to admit that you don't deserve to be in heaven because you are a sinner. B, believe. Believe that Jesus is the only way, that he's the only Savior. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. Believe it. It's hard sometimes to believe that, isn't it? It's hard to have faith in that. But you have to. You have to. That's what Scripture says. Jesus was not politically correct when he said, I am the only way to heaven. Man, talk about lack of diversity here. Or, you know, it's just, Jesus said, "It's I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life." And if we believe the Bible is true, we have to believe this and live this and take it. So believe. Last, the C is commit. You've got to choose, not commit, choose to follow Christ. You commit your life to him. You say, I'm going to let you in, Lord. Come into my life and start the work of doing that change in me that I need. Lord, it's you. It's you I need. I want you to be Lord and Master. I'll take the back surrendered subservient role. You are now the Lord of my life. That's the ticket. That's the answer. That's the gospel. It's the good news. You're hearing it. You're without excuse now, says Romans 1. You have no excuse. You have no excuse. Let's pray. First of all, Lord, I just pray for those who needed to hear this talk about what heaven's going to be like. But I pray for them so that they will not be overwhelmed by this life, but that the hope of eternity actually encourages us down here. I pray for those that we will truly live as citizens of heaven and remember that it's going to be so much better with you. And you're also going to be with us here while we struggle at our stopover, Lord. You're going to be here for us. And I just pray for those who need to really believe that what we talked about today is true. For those who don't know you as Savior, I pray for them as well. If they're realizing, man, I'm not sure I'm going to get into heaven. Lord, would you help them go through this process of relationship, not religion, relationship. That you bridge the way. You restore the relationship for us. You want to be our friend. You want to be our Lord, our Father. Help anybody that just doesn't quite understand that yet to experience that in a real way. Thank you for the hope of heaven and what it's going to be like one day. This is a brand new song. Obviously never sung here before, but not many other places either. So don't sing till the fourth time, all right? One day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved, and every anxious thought left behind, no more fear. When we all get to heaven, What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and we'll shout the victory. If you feel comfortable, help me, all right? One day we will see face to face Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? No. And in a moment we shall be changed on that day. And one day we'll be free, free indeed, Jesus. One day all this struggle will cease, and we will see your glory revealed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Let's stand together. Sing that again. When we all, yes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. You see, one day we will see face to face Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and we'll shout the victory. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your week. Be the church. Be God's heaven's representative this week, all right? God bless you guys.